بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أيها الأخوة في الله، يسرنا أن نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ صلاح كنتوش حفظه الله تعالى، ونشرع في شرح منظومة درس أسبوعي جديد في هذه الليلة المباركة إن شاء الله، وعبارة عن شرح منظومة اللامية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى. So a pleasure to have with us our noble Sheikh Sarah Kantoush. May Allah bless and preserve him. We'll be starting a new weekly class with us this evening in the explanation of the Lamia poem by Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. فَلْتَفَضَّلْ شَيْخَنَا مَشْكُورًا مَجْوَرًا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. إخواني في الله، نحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يسر لنا اللقاء بكم، سلمكم الله، ضمن إخواننا في مكتبة الموحدين في البحر الكاريبي من الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك في القائمين على هذه المكتبة، وأن يسددهم وأن يعينهم، وأن يكتب عليهم رضوانه الأكبر، وأن يرزقهم محبته سبحانه. وكما علمتم وفقكم الله أن إن شاء الله تعالى في هذه الليلة الموافق للتاسع والعشرين من جمادى الآخرة سنة 41 و400 و1000 للهجرة، سنشرع إن شاء الله تعالى في قراءة هذه المنظومة المباركة التي تنسب إلى شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله رحمة واسعة. وشيخ الإسلام أحمد بن عبد الحليم بن عبد السلام ابن تيمية الحراني الدمشقي، معلوم أنه من الأئمة والفقهاء المجتهدين المحدثين الحفاظ، كان يكنى بأبي العباس، وغالب الاستعمال أنه يلقب بشيخ الإسلام، ولا إذا أطلق في كثير من اصطلاحات العلماء شيخ الإسلام فالمراد به هو. والكلام عن شهرة هذا الرجل معلومة، وشهرته تغني عن الإطناب والإسهاب في ذكر ما عليه هذا الإمام رحمه الله. جاءت هذه المنظومة من أو سبكها أو صاغها من البحر الكامل، وهو أحد البحور التي هي معروفة في علم العروض. نعم، تفضل فاضل.
أحسن الله إليكم شيخنا. Our Sheikh, may Allah عز وجل bless and preserve him, began mentioning the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, praising him, seeking his help and his forgiveness, seeking refuge with Allah from the evils of our own souls and from our own evil actions. testifying that there is nothing and no one worthy of worship except Allah, who is one and has no partner, and that Muhammad وسلم, is his servant and messenger. He then quoted the verses from the Book of Allah, O you who believe, fear Allah as he deserves to be feared, and do not die until and unless you are submitting to him as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and from that soul he created its mate, and from them both he dispersed many men and women throughout the earth. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut off ties with the wombs that bore you. Verily, Allah is watching over you. O you who believe, fear Allah, and use sound and proper speech. If you do so, Allah will rectify your affairs and forgive your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved the greatest success. He went on to say that the most truthful of speech is the Book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of His Messenger Muhammad ﷺ. And the worst of all affairs are those newly introduced matters into our religion. Every newly introduced matter into the religion of Islam is an accursed innovation. Every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the hellfire. The Sheikh proceeded to say, my dear brothers, we praise Allah Azawajal for facilitating for us all this meeting with one another through our brothers at Muwahideen for locations in the Caribbean and the U.S. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of those who are in charge of this organization, to grant them all His love, and to grant them all His greatest pleasure. And on this night, which is the 29th night of Jumar al-Akhirah, in the year 1441 after the Hijrah, we'll begin the reading of this poem, this blessed poem, which is attributed to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, whose full name is Ahmad ibn Abd al-Harim ibn Abd al-Salam ibn Taymiyyah al-Harrani al-Dimashqi. And it is well known that he is one of the great scholars of the religion, one of those who was an imam and a mujtahid. His kunya was Abu al-Abbas. And in many of the writings of the scholars of Islam, when the word Shaykh al-Islam is referred to, they are talking about none other than him, rahimahullah. And because he is very well known throughout the history of Islam, we won't go into too much detail in talking about him, rahimahullah. And we will start directly with talking about this poem, which is called Al-Lamiyah. And this poem was written according to the style of poetry, and there are different scales of poetry that are used in the science known as Al-Urud. And this one is known as Al-Bahr Al-Kamil. This is the style of poetry according to which this was written. Tafadhal Shaykhna.
Barakallahu fikum. Wa sallamakum Allah. Ara annana nashra' fi asl hadhihi al-manzuma. Faqala rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'ah. Ya sa'ili 'an madhhabi wa 'aqidati. Ruziq al-huda man lil-hidayati yas'alu. اسمع كلام محقق في قوله لا ينثني عنه ولا يتبدل قوله رحمه الله يا سائلي عن مذهبي هذا ابتداء من شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية بذكر أمر الاعتقاد وأنه يصرح باعتقاده بكل فخر وثقة وهذا هو الذي ينبغي للسني السلفي أنه يجهر ويصرح بعقيدته لا كما يفعل بعض الناس بالتخفي بالاعتقاد كما تفعل الروافض فالرافضة ومن قاربهم يتخفون بعقائدهم ولا يظهرون عقائدهم وفي مثل هذا الحال يقول بعضهم أعني في التخفي احفظ لسانك لا تبح بثلاثة سن ومال ما استطعت ومذهب فعلى الثلاثة تبتلى بثلاثة بمكفر وبحاسد ومكذب أعيد الأبيات احفظ لسانك لا تبح بثلاثة سن ومال ما استطعت ومذهب فعلى الثلاثة تبتلى بثلاثة بمكفر وبحاسد ومكذب. ومقصود هذان البيتان أنه تحفظ لسانك، يعني تجعل هذا الأمر سرا لا تفصح به، في حال أنك إذا سئلت عن عمرك عن السن، أو سئلت عن مقدار مالك، أو ما هو المذهب الذي تنتحله، سواء كان في الاعتقاد، وهذا هو الظاهر من البيت بدليل كلمة المكفر. فقال فعلى الثلاثة، يعني على هذه الثلاثة الأشياء تبتلى بثلاثة، يعني بثلاثة أشخاص أو بثلاثة أصناف من الناس: من يكفرك لأجل المذهب، ومن يحسدك لأجل المال، ومكذب بماذا؟ لأجل السن. إذا قلت أن سنك كذا وكذا، يعني تقلل من العمر، فإنه يكذبونك. ذكر هذه أو ذكر هذين البيتين ابن العماد في كتاب الشذرات، شذرات الذهب في التاريخ. وهذا شأن أهل البدع في الغالب، يعني أنهم يتخفون بعقائدهم. أما السلفي فلا يجد في نفسه حرجا من أن يصرح بما في قلبه، ولا ينافي هذا حال الإكراه، فلكل حال مقال. يعني في حال الإكراه قد يخفي الإنسان عقيدته، لكن هذا حال آخر. فابتدأ رحمه الله بقوله: يا سائلي عن مذهبي وعقيدتي، ثم قال: رزق الهدى من للهداية يسأل. يعني أيضا كذلك كونه يرزق الهدى والتوفيق، هذا في الغالب، فمن سأل الله جل وعلا الهداية والتوفيق نالها ووفقه الله تبارك وتعالى غالبا. وانتبهوا لكلمة غالبا، لأن كلمة يعني أن كل إنسان يسأل الله، أو يعني مثلا يسأل الهداية، ليس كل إنسان يسأل الهداية يوفق، لأن الله جل وعلا من له الحكمة البالغة، فهو المطلع على القلوب. فما أضل الله سبحانه وتعالى من أضل إلا لحكمة علمها سبحانه. لكن نقول في الغالب الذي يسأل الهداية ويطلبها في الغالب أنه يوفق. نعم، تفضل.
أحسن الله إليك. So at the beginning of this poem we find the lines by the author رحمه الله: يا سائلي عن مذهبي وعقيدتي. O you who asks me about my doctrine and my creed. رزق الهدى من للهداية يسأل. Certainly bestowed with guidance is he who asks for guidance. اسمع كلام محقق في قوله. Listen to the speech of one who has ascertained the truth of his statement. لا ينثني عنه ولا يتبدل. Without departing from it nor replacing it with something else. These are the first two lines of the poem. And then we find that the author, rahimahullah, is starting with the mention of his belief, starting with his creed. And he is very openly expressing, without any secrets, what he believes in and what his aqidah is. He is doing so openly because, and he is doing so openly and proudly because of how confident he is in the truth of what he believes in. And this is how the person who is upon the sunnah, the salafi, should be: openly expressing his beliefs, having no reservations, and making no secret of what his belief is. Not like some people are in hiding their beliefs, the likes of the Rawafid, those who are always making a secret what they truly believe in. And thus we find a verse of poetry from some of them talking about the importance of keeping some secrets. And so in this verse of poetry they said, guard your tongue from the mention of three things. Guard your tongue from the mention of three things: age, wealth, if you are able to, and madhab. Because due to these three things, you will be tested with three, meaning three types of people. The one who pronounces you a disbeliever, the one who is jealous of you, and the one who belies you. So what is meant by these verses of poetry is that those people who hold disbelief are saying that you should guard your tongue and not make mention of your age, how much money you have, or what you believe in. They say these three things are to be kept a secret. And they say that if someone asks you about your age, or how much money you have, or what you believe in, what your madhab is, you should keep this a secret, because otherwise, if you tell someone what you believe in, this goes back to what was mentioned of the mukaffir, the person who makes takfir on you because of what you believe in. They say if you tell them what you believe in, they're going to call you a disbeliever. If you tell them how much money you have, they're going to be jealous of you. And if you tell them how old you are, they won't believe you. They'll belie you. And these two verses of poetry, they were mentioned by Ibn al-Imad in his book, Shadarat al-Dahab, which was a book of history. This is the affair of the people of Bir'a. Normally, the people of Bir'a, they want to hide their beliefs. They're afraid to come out and tell the world what they believe in. Whereas the Sunni, the Salafi, isn't afraid of telling his beliefs. He isn't afraid of expressing in front of everyone what he holds to be his beliefs. The one exception to this is when a person is, their life is threatened. Their life is threatened because of their beliefs. In this situation, it's permissible in Islam for one to hide their beliefs if they're going to be threatened because of some harm or their life is put in danger by an enemy of their belief. But this is a different subject, and every subject has, or for every situation, there's a correct answer. However, we find that the author, Himullah Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, in the beginning of this was expressing that he was proud to pronounce his beliefs, and he started off by saying, "O you who asks about my belief, my madhab, or my doctrine, and my aqidah, or my creed, certainly the one bestowed with guidance is he who asks for guidance." That is, that the person who is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the truth, and he wants guidance, normally the person who this is their affair, they will find guidance. Normally, in most situations, the person who truly wants to be guided will be guided. And the person who asks Allah Azza wa Jalla for guidance will find that he is granted this guidance, normally. There are some exceptions to the rule, however. There are some people who truly ask for guidance, yet they are not granted it. And there's also wisdom in this. For certainly Allah has a wisdom in everything that he does. And if he allows someone to be led astray, it's because of what he knows of that person and the secrets of their heart, and how they are not deserving of guidance. Tafadhal Shaykhana.
Barakallahu feekum. ثم قال رحمه الله اسمع كلام محقق في قوله. يشير رحمه الله بهذا الصدر من هذا البيت إلى أن قضايا الاعتقاد لا بد أن تكون مطروقة على الوجه اليقيني، ويأتي بها على جهة اليقين والتحقيق لا على وجه الشك والتردد. ولذلك وصف نفسه بقوله كلام محقق. محقق وصف نفسه بذلك، محققا في القول، والمقصود بالقول هنا أيضا كذلك الاعتقاد الذي لا ينثني عنه، بمعنى أنه لا يرجع مترددا، لا ينثني عنه بمعنى أنه لا يعود مترددا في اعتقاده، ولا يبدل أيضا هذا الاعتقاد. ولكيفية قراءة هذا البيت بأن يقال لا ينثني عنه، يعني تشبع الهاء، إشباع الهاء بحيث أنه يصير كأنه يتبعه واوا ليست مجرد ضمة، وذلك لغرض استقامة الوزن. ولذلك تجد أن بعض النساخ يكتبونها بالواو، يعني عنه يأتون بواو بعد الهاء. نعم
السلام عليكم. نياز رحمه الله ونعم تسعين، اسمع كلام محقق في قوله. Listen to the speech of one who has ascertained the truth of his statement. لا ينثني عنه ولا يتبدل. Without departing from it nor replacing it with something else. Here we find the author رحمه الله تعالى was talking about the affairs of اعتقاد, the affairs of creed. And that when it comes to one's beliefs, one's creed, one's aqidah, these must be built upon certainty. Your aqidah must be something that is built upon certainty, not something that is built upon doubt or being half-hearted about something. Rather, the aqidah is something that should be built upon certainty. This is why he described himself, rahimahullah, as a muhaqqiq. He said, listen to the speech of muhaqqiq, the one who has ascertained the truth, the one who is upon certainty of the haqq, the one who is upon certainty of the truth of what he is saying. And he is not going to depart from this. And he is not going to replace this belief of his. Because he knows the affair of his aqidah to be true, he's not going to replace it. The correct pronunciation of this, and if we want to look at the style of poetry that it's written in and know how the pronunciation should be, in the second stanza of the second line of the poem, should be pronounced لا ينثني عنه ولا يتبدل. So عنه, the ضمة there that's on top of the letter ها, it's as if we have to extend it, it's as if there's a wow there. And thus we'll find in some manuscripts of the poem that even a wow is written. تفضل شيخ.
بارك الله فيكم. ثم قال رحمه الله حب الصحابة كلهم لي مذهب ومودة القربى بها أتوسل. ابتدأ رحمه الله بذكر الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم دون البدء بأي شيء آخر، لأنهم بوابة الدين، فهم الذين نقلوا لنا الشريعة. لأن الرجل إذا أحب شخصا وثق به جدا وقبل عنه ما يقول وينقل. ولذلك لما أراد الرافضة هدم الشريعة دخلوا من بوابة الصحابة فطعنوا عليهم وكفروهم حتى لا يؤخذ الدين عنهم. ويكون هذا الفعل، يعني حتى يكون هذا مسوغا ومقبولا عند من سلك سبيلهم من المنحرفين وأهل البدع، لأن الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم لما كانوا هم حماة الدين وهم نقلة هذا الدين، فابتدأ رحمه الله بذكر أمرهم. لأنك إذا أحببت السلف رضي الله تعالى عنهم ووثقت فيما يقولونه وينقلونه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تقبل عنهم الدين وتأخذ الدين من طريقهم، بخلاف ما إذا ما طعنت عليهم وقدحت فيهم فلن تقبل بعد ذلك شيء من الدين، لأجل أنه ليس دين إلا من طريقهم. ولذلك تأتي البدع وتأتي الانحرافات عند الروافض على جهة الخصوص، لأجل أنهم صاروا يتلقفون دينهم من غير طريق الصحابة. ونظير هؤلاء أيضا الصوفية الغلاة الذين تركوا أيضا سبيل الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، وزعموا أنهم يأخذون دينهم مباشرة من الله، حتى يقول قائلهم حدثني قلبي عن ربي مباشرة، يزعمون أنهم يأخذون الدين بدون واسطة. ولذلك شيخ الإسلام في هذا الموضع ابتدأ بذكر الحب، حب الصحابة كلهم لي مذهب، وقوله كلهم هذا تشديد على أنه لا يعاد أحد منهم، وإنما يحبون كما قال الطحاوي رحمه الله، وحبهم دين وإيمان. ومودة القرب بها أتوسل، يعني أنا أتوسل إلى الله جل وعلا بمحبة أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وأتودد وأتقرب بهذا الحب إلى الله جل وعلا. ومن هنا نستفيد أن التوسل كما يذكر أهل العلم ثلاثة أقسام. القسم الأول أنك تتوسل بأسماء الله جل وعلا، فتقول تقدم بين يدي مطلوبك اسما من أسماء الله جل وعلا، فتسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى بهذا الاسم أن يوفقك في جانب معين تطلبه، إما فيما يتعلق بأمر الدنيا أو فيما يتعلق بأمر الآخرة. والقسم الثاني أنك تتوسل بدعاء الرجل الصالح الحي، وصورته أنك تأتي الرجل الذي ترجو أو تأمل فيه الصلاح، تأتيه وتقول له يا فلان ادعو الله لي بأن يرزقني الولد، أو ادعو الله لي بأن يثبتني على السنة أو نحو ذلك، فهذا توسل مشروع. والقسم الثالث الذي هو التوسل بالعمل الصالح، أنك تتوسل إلى الله جل وعلا بعمل من الأعمال الصالحة التي ترجو الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينجيك بها. ومن هذا العمل الذي أشار إليه الشيخ في هذا الموضع أنه يتوسل إلى الله جل وعلا بحب أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. وجاء عن أنس وغيره من أصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كما جاء في البخاري من حديثه أن أعرابيا جاء إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فقال يا رسول الله الرجل يحب القوم ولما يلحق بهم، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء مع من أحب، الحديث. فهذا يفيد على أن محبتك للشخص تكون سببا في كونك تكون من حزبه ومن صنفه ومن شيعته. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرضى عنا بسبب محبتنا لأصحاب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولعلنا نكتفي إن شاء الله تعالى بهذا، وإن شاء الله نجعل في الأسبوع القابل بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى الكلام عن بقية الأبيات.
أحسن الله إليكم، بارك فيكم ونفع الله بما قلتم بشيخنا.
فيكم يبارك الله.
قال رحمه الله ونعم تسي حب الصحابة كلهم لي مذهب. Loving the companions, all of them, without exception, is for me school of doctrine. ومودة القربى بها أتوسل. And love of the nearest ones. الزهر البيت, do I seek as a means of nearness to Allah. Yad Rahimahullah began the first point out of all the things that he was going to express about what he believes in his creed. He started by mentioning the Sahaba. Before mentioning anything else, he mentioned his love for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Why is this? Because they are the gateway to the religion. They are the ones who transmitted this religion to us. They are the ones who taught the religion to the following generation, and so on and so forth until it reached us. There's no way that we could have learned the religion of Islam without them transmitting it to the following generations. Now he said, rahimahullah, loving the companions, all of them, without exception, is for me a school of doctrine. When you love someone, you trust them. When you love someone, you trust them and you accept what they say. Now, because the Rafida do not love the Sahaba, And because they want to destroy the religion of Islam, the easiest gate that they could enter into the destruction of Islam from was the gateway of the Sahaba. So they started with speaking ill of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was a tool used by everyone after them who wants to flee from the religion and aid in the destruction of the religion of Islam. The Sahaba are the ones who transmitted this religion to those who came after them. There's no way to know Islam without taking it from them. And this is why the Author Allah began with mentioning them, began with mentioning the Sahaba. So there's no way to know the religion of Islam without taking that knowledge from the Sahaba. And this must be our methodology, learning Islam from the Sahaba. And if a person takes any other way, speaks ill of them, refuses to accept their narrations and their teachings, he will not be upon guidance. And he will without doubt be upon innovation and bid'ah. To the extent that you will find some people citing the sources of where they get their religion from and taking it from other than the Sahaba. The Rafila at the forefront of them because of their hatred for the Sahaba, and likewise the Sufiya, the extremists from amongst the Sufis. Because they refuse to take from the Sahaba, they will say things like that my heart has told me on behalf of my Lord. Meaning that essentially they claim that they receive revelation, that Allah talks to them. So they don't have anyone to teach them their religion. They say they don't need anyone to teach them their religion because Allah talks to them directly. So they are taking totally out of the picture any need for transmission in the religion and teaching. When the Author, rahimahullah, the Shaykh Hassam said that he loved the Sahaba, all of them, without any exception, meaning that he shows no animosity towards any of the messenger, any of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was the likes of what Imam al-Tahawi said in his Aqidah, that loving them is deen and iman. Loving the Sahaba is deen and iman. So in the poem we find that loving the Sahaba, all of them, without exception, is for me a school of doctrine, and love of the nearest ones do I seek as a means of nearness to Allah. That is tawassul. That is this love. The Author rahimahullah was saying that this love that he feels for the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially those ones who are closest from amongst the companions to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his closest ones being his family members, his love for them is something that he makes tawassul by, that he hopes to get closer to Allah because of this love that he has for them. There are, as the scholars of Islam have mentioned, three types of tawassul, three types of seeking nearness to Allah. The first type of tawassul is making tawassul to Allah by mentioning his names and attributes. So when making dua to Allah Azza wa Jalla and requesting from him something, before making that request, the person would mention one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when asking for guidance, for example, or asking for any affair from this world or from the affairs of the afterlife, the person would first start by mentioning one of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the first type of tawassul. The second type of tawassul is through the dua of a righteous man who is alive. That is, a man that you know to be righteous, and you feel that because of him being righteous, that Allah would answer his dua. You go to that man and you say to him, please make dua to Allah that he will grant me a child. Or please make dua to Allah that he will keep me firm upon the sunnah. And so on and so forth. This is the second type of tawassul. The third type of tawassul is making mention of one's righteous deeds, hoping that because of doing this righteous deed, that Allah Azza wa Jal would grant the person their request or save them from some calamity or tragedy. So the author, rahimahullah, was mentioning that he was making tawassul by this third type, that is a righteous deed. And he considered to be one of the righteous deeds his love for the Sahaba, all of them. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and others reported, as found in Sahih al-Bukhari, that once a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, a man loves people, but he is not caught up with them. Sometimes there's a man who loves a group of people, but he hasn't caught up with them. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, saying, the person is with whoever he loves. The person is with whoever he loves. That is, by loving a group of people, Allah would cause you to be from amongst them, even though you have not met with them. This was the last point that the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala made. He said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with all of us, and we ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who love the companions of this Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we will continue our explanation in next week's class. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Jazakumullahu khairan jazaa shaykhana.
Barakallahu feekum.
Antaqi ila asbana qadim inshaAllah.
Ya Allah, Allah inni wa yaqim.
Allahu alayhi wa sallam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.